You were never good enough, even when you were young. The Parker you knew 10 years ago would have gotten us all killed by now. I've kept you in cash, in dope, women, whatever you wanted, so settle down.
I don't buy it, Flatnose said back. I think Lad is right. I say we off this skitty son of a bitch right now.
I felt myself tense and prepared to make a run for it. Hopeless or not, I'd rather get killed trying to get away than trying to pretend I was asleep.
Back down,
Parker said. Then there was a scuffling noise of boots on the old concrete. I heard a couple of grunts and an abrupt yelp, and smelled sour sweat and stale beer as Flatnose was forced to his knees less than a foot away. He kept making small noises of pain, thick with tension, as though Parker was holding him in some kind of lock. I forced myself to relax, not to just stagger up and start running, but I felt a bead of sweat trickle down my face. Parker snarled over Flatnose's whimpers.
I told you, you were never good enough. Challenge me again, in public or alone, it doesn't matter, and I will rip your heart out.
The way he spoke the threat was eerie, not with the hissing, villainous emphasis one would expect, but in a calm, measured, almost bored tone, as though he were mentioning switching out a carburetor or changing a light bulb. There was a rippling sort of sound, and Flatnose let out a howl of pain that dissolved into a string of dog-like whimpers. I heard Parker's boots move a few steps away. Now get up, he said. Call Tully's and get the others back here before the moon rises. We'll have blood tonight. And if Marconi isn't polite enough, we'll have a lot more. I heard Flatnose make his way to his feet and shuffle off in a slow and haphazard fashion. He vanished into the office and closed the doors behind him. I waited for a few moments, hoping that Parker would wander off and I could make my escape. But he didn't. Damn it. I was running out of time. If I waited until the rest of the lycanthropes returned to the garage, I would never be able to get away. The numbers would be stacked too high. If I was going to make a break for it, logically, the time was now. Of course, I was still bound. By the time I got my legs free, Parker would be on me, and I had just listened to him disable a man twice his size and threaten to rip his heart out. And he meant it, too, I could tell. When I looked inside of him, I could see a dark and angry place, the source of all that power and force of will. He could tear me to pieces with his bare hands, literally. And what was worse, he would. I had to have a head start if I was going to run. I could make him mad, maybe. Antagonize him into going to get a baseball bat or another roll of duct tape for my mouth. Then I could run. Make a clean getaway. The one problem with that plan is he might just rip my heart out on the spot. But nothing ventured, nothing gained. I didn't have time to be picky. So I lifted up my head enough to squint at him in the semi-darkness and said, "You certainly have a way with people. You must have read a book or something." My voice startled him, and he spun with the reflexes of a nervous cat. He stared at me for a long time before he started to relax. "So, you're alive. It's just as well, I suppose. Mostly I was just tired. Thanks for the sack time." He showed me his teeth. "No problem. Checkout is in a couple of hours." That scared me enough to make a rational man pee, but I only shrugged. "No problem. Good thing your people can't hit. They might have made me uncomfortable." Parker laughed a rough laugh. "You got balls, kid. I'll give you that. Or at least until Lana gets her teeth into them, later." This wasn't going at all well. I had to find some way to piss him off and make him laugh. "How's the knee?" Parker narrowed his eyes. "A lot better. It didn't quite heal up before sunrise, but I figured it'll only take an hour or so after the moon comes up." "I should have aimed higher," I said. Parker's jaw clenched down a little. "Too late now, kid. Game over." "Enjoy it while you can. I hear your people are getting a little sick of you. Do you think Lana will be the one to tear your balls off when they put you down?" His boot came out of nowhere and hit me in the side of the head. It threw me hard to my right, and if I hadn't have clinched my arms at the last minute, it would have thrown me to the ground and revealed my lack of bonds. "You just don't know when to keep quiet, do you, wizard?"
what have I got to lose? I shot back. I mean, hell, it isn't as though the people that looked up to me have turned against me, right? It isn't as though I'm getting too old to manage... Shut up, Parker snarled, his eyes taking in an eerie, greenish cast in the darkness, a trick of light. And he kicked me again, this time in the stomach. My breath went out in a whoosh, and I fought to continue speaking. Waking up stiffer every morning, eating less, maybe not as strong as you used to be, right? Not as fast. Got to beat up old dogs like Flatnose there, because if you try one of the younger ones, they'll take you down. The plan was working beautifully. Now all I needed was for him to stalk out of the room to calm down, or fetch an instrument of mayhem, or some more duct tape, anything. Instead, Marconi just spun on his heel, picked up a tire iron, and turned back to me, lifting it high. Fuck Marconi, he snarled, and fuck you, wizard. His muscles bunched beneath his old t-shirt, and he raised the iron above his head. His eyes gleamed with the same sort of animalistic fury I had beheld in the other lycanthropes the night before. His mouth was stretched into a feral grin, and I could see the cords in his neck standing out as he wound up to give me the death blow. I hate it when a plan falls apart.